Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
When I heard the news yesterday, Representative John Yarmuth was retiring, I was, you know, I went little Obama girl.
No!
It's okay. We got to vote for another president.
Congressman.
I'm not ready for a new one.
There's not enough bourbon in the world. Good morning, Representative John Yarmuth. People on Twitter said, I hope he is retiring to spend more time with Stephanie Miller, and I hope that is the case.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, anytime you ask.
Well, you know, Representative, we've had this conversation so many times that I don't know how you do your job, any of you now. I don't know how you work with another party that's not a governing party anymore. And I have to ask, like, what went into this? Because that's what I'm afraid of, is we're going to lose all the good ones like you, because you're like, what? This is not even, they're not even, they just are not a governing party anymore. I mean.
Right. And I actually said that to a reporter yesterday who asked me what had changed during my 15 years there. And that's probably the biggest change is the Republican Party has just given up in terms of having any interest in policymaking. And that's very frustrating because it's, you know, it's kind of like negotiating with Kirsten Sinema right now.
Yeah.
If you can find her.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. If you can find her,
well,
yeah.
I mean, Chairman, that's a perfect example. I said it earlier, and the media is like, oh, the progressives and moderates, the Democrats are in disarray. No, it's two people are against what 60 to 80% of Americans are for in the Build Back Better plan, right? Or we can't figure out what they're for. Isn't that where we're at?
Exactly right. And It's frustrating because, you know, first of all, this was a platform that not only Joe Biden ran on last year, but most every Democrat embraced.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we don't have a huge mandate in the Congress, but we have a mandate. They gave us control. And, it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating that we won't consider some change in the filibuster, either abolish it or change it. So that we can actually govern. Nobody ever intended for there to be a minority veto in one house of the Congress, and that's what we have. But to me, this was, all of those things were maybe 5% of my decision. The 95% was just, I'll be 75 when my term ends. And I know that sounds silly when we've got Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Jim Clark all over 80, but whatever time I have left, I'd like to have a little bit more control over it.
Yeah.
And that was the main.
Can I just say, being shallow and from Hollywood, you look fantastic. I had no idea. But
well, I appreciate it. You know to what I attribute that.
Bourbon. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you're well preserved.
Yeah.
Well preserved.
Yes.
Representative, I think one of the frustrating things, again, is the media's role in this. Then, as Speaker Pelosi said yesterday, she says every time she walks to the microphone, what's in these bills? And all they ever talk about is what it costs. you know, as you as chairman of the budget committee. Well, is it this or is it this? The 3.5 is a 1.5. Is it two? Is it what? And they don't talk about what it is. Right. You know, as you tweeted, when House Democrats say we're fighting for transformational investments that will support working families, we mean it. Build back better. You said we're going to build back better, but we must ensure working parents have the support they need to return to the workforce confidently. That means knowing their children are safe and well taken care of. I mean, talk to us a little more about what's in the bill, because these are real things that are going to help real families.
Well, when I do this and roll through these, and I'll do it quickly,
sure.
I'll leave some out, but you'll get a sense of the problem that we're identifying, and that's talking about what's in it.
Yeah.
So child care, expansion of child care and affordable child care, early pre-K education for 3 and 4 year olds, paid family and medical leave, expanded Medicare to include vision, dental, and hearing, filling the Medicaid gap for people in the states where the state did not expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. There's a lot of climate policy, resiliency, there's housing money. Again, I'll forget some.
Yeah.
Senior care, providing home care for seniors. It's one thing after another. And when you, the beauty of it is that they all fit together.
Yeah.
They all fit together in the sense of this is creating the kind of human infrastructure, and that's a vague term, but you know, if you don't have childcare, then that can be as much of an obstruction to get to work as lack of transportation.
Well, thank you. And, when we keep talking about the worker shortage, Representative, right? I mean, again, part of it is people don't feel like putting their health at risk, getting COVID, you know, being mistreated in many cases. I mean, I think that the worker shortage, there's a lot of things that go into it, but that's another one, that it costs more to get childcare than to go back to work. I mean, that's a big part.
It is. I mean, in Washington, you know, I'm not paying for it, but my chief of staff is, it's $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in where you are, it's equally high. And that's, you know, that's unmanageable for many people. Plus, there are not enough slots for kids who want a child care. They're generally waiting lists at every place. Pre-K, of course, has the combined benefit of being a child care, an element of child care, because the kids are taken care of all day. But they also get a much stronger foundation at a very critical time.
Yeah.
And if I had to identify the most important element of the entire plan, I would say that's the one that I would, if I had to choose one, that's the one I would choose. It's universal pre-K. In places where they have it, and there are some places in the country that do, they've had to rewrite the curriculum for high school because the kids are so much more advanced than they had been.
Wow.
So, the advantages are just amazing. And again, it's part of the childcare puzzle.
Yeah.
So, but that's, again, you can roll through all those things it's hard to talk about them all. And that's one of the debates we're having right now, is if we have to pare the overall spending number, do we concentrate on several of them and do them really well and completely, or do we try to keep all the elements in there and pare them back, either by...
Well, where are we on that? Because it sounds like that's where what Speaker Pelosi talked about is cutting down the number of years. So it would be a 5-year, say, instead of a 10-year, so you get the number down. And I think that's not a bad strategy. I don't know what you think, because then I think to take those things away from people in 5 years, good luck.
Yeah, it depends. So let's say, you know, if you're talking about adding benefits to Medicare, that's easy to do because we have an existing structure. And under the proposal that's now for us, the dental provision doesn't go into effect till 2028 anyway. But so, you know, one of the things that I've talked about is maybe waiting to do that next year in another reconciliation bill that would be actually a good thing to be talking about right during the midterms. But so we had a big leadership meeting last week, leadership and committee chairs, and we talked about this question. And I would say the group was split pretty much 50-50 as to which tack to take.
Yeah.
But the problem is that when you got to the question of do 3 or 4 things really well, there was not much agreement on which 3 or 4 things. So I suspect we will settle ultimately on the latter course, which is try to do all of these things and, maybe lower the eligibility limits so that, you know, couples who make $400,000 a year don't get help with their child care. And that's probably fair. Same with community college and some of those other things where you probably don't need to make it a universal benefit.
Yeah.
Going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So just between you, me, and the bourbon, what percentage of your decision to retire was based on Mitch McConnell? I'm working with Mitch. You tweeted, Senator McConnell said Republicans won't vote to raise the debt ceiling. And you just said he's being so deceitful with the American people. That's their debt. And now they don't want to pay it. I mean, right. He's just uniquely.
I spoke on the floor about that the other day, because one of the things that they're choosing not to discuss is the fact that their tax cuts in 2017, which only they voted for, no Democrats voted for any of them, They're still adding to the debt every year through 2026. So it's about $250 billion this year. It's about $250 billion next year, about $200 billion the year after. So we're going to have to keep raising the debt ceiling to accommodate that, which was only their action. But I will say I'm being a little bit nicer to Mitch today, because he did call me yesterday, and it was a very, very gracious and friendly call. And it was very nice of him to do.
I think he knew to time it after bourbon hour. So whatever, you were probably in a better mood.
That's right. Yeah.
So Chairman, obviously one of the, biggest issues, the only issue to a lot of us, is our democracy and what is happening with this January 6th committee, because it goes to everything, right? It goes to subverting our democracy in 2022 and 2024, whether it's with voter suppression bills or putting in, these Trump acolytes, conspiracy theorists in all these positions. Obviously, we're, my headline this morning, January 6th panel prepares to immediately pursue criminal charges against Bannon. Today was the day. We played Stephanie Murphy, Chairman Schiff. So will these be enforced, these subpoenas? And are we going to get to the truth of January 6th?
I think we will. I believe that Benny Thompson, the chairman of that committee, and Adam and the others are committed to not letting this slide and not letting these people avoid their legal responsibility. So I think you're going to see some referrals to the Justice Department in a very short period of time. And I hope justice takes it seriously and acts on those. Because one of the things that's so frustrating, and Trump was a master at that, is the way you can slow play these things through the bureaucracy. So they need to expedite, Justice Department needs to expedite all the enforcement of these subpoenas.
And,
I hope they will.
Yeah, I don't think it gets much more serious than trying to overthrow the government of the United States in a free and fair election. And I think a lot of people, be it from Hillary Clinton to, Joy Reid to many of us, saying, I don't think Democrats are taking this seriously enough, that we are this close to a constitutional crisis. Mark Elias, the election lawyer, that, as you say, if we're not able to fix the filibuster and get voting rights, I think we're in a very dire place about the lengths that they will go to on their side to seize power again, don't you?
Right. Absolutely. And, we passed one bill already. We're going to pass the John Lewis Act, which is the second part of it, dealing with the Voting Rights Act. We passed a bill that provides for a wide variety of election protection provisions, guaranteeing early voting and same day registration and mail in ballots and so forth. So we're waiting on the Senate to act. And of course, there's the filibuster. And I understand that Chuck Schumer said he's going to bring a bill to the floor next week. It won't pass because they're not going to vote for it. It won't get 60 votes. And we're all very hopeful that at some point, Manchin and Sinema, and if there are others who don't want to mess with the filibuster, make some changes based on, even if it's just a carve out for this, foundational problem or crisis that we face.
Well,
and, even just to make the minority put 41 votes on the board.
Yeah. Well, you're. Want, You're going to be here 15 more months. You're going to keep fighting, right? As long as we don't give up and keep fighting. You know what? Help appears in the most unusual places, like Donald Trump, who we have to applaud for his foresight and strength and leadership in saying that Republicans will not vote in 2022 or 2024 if they do not get to the bottom of what happened in 2020. And we heartily endorse that, don't we, Congressman? We heartily endorse that. Yes.
Stay home. Exactly. I'm just hoping right now that Rand Paul will follow my lead and decide to retire.
Hey, Mitch, look how much fun this is. Okay.
Yeah, Mitch, well, his term's not up yet. He has five more years.
Now. Why don't you fill your pool with bourbon and send him the video doing the backstroke? Yeah. Look how much fun this is.
Yeah.
All right.
I tell you, I had a lot of communications from former members who said, "You'll love it."
Yeah, I bet. It's going to be great for you. Well, we hope you will retire to spend more time with the Stephanie Miller Show. That's the one thing we hope. You are literally one of our absolute favorites for many, many years, and we thank you for your...
I appreciate that. Well, the feeling is mutual.
Aw, and thank you.
Nothing I enjoy more than talking with you all.
Aw, well, thank you for being such a patriot. And we have 15 more months of patriotism from John Yarmuth, y'all.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Representative.
Bye, Stephanie.
All right.
Bye.